Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're recording, we're live. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Has it been a while? Yeah. Have I been kind of randomly busy with stuff? Yeah. I mean, I won't belabor it, but, you know, I had, like, work and then, like, a work event and then recorded the Red Scare podcast, Love Line, that was like 3 hours long. Then I had Dasha's wedding, and then I'm still like hungover from that, even though it's like Monday at like 10 p.m. Like, just bear with me. I'm glad you're back, that you stuck around. I am gonna try my best tonight. I'm gonna be honest. Today was a tough day for like, we'll just say like two reasons. Number one was like the relentless pouring rain that like I haven't experienced in like quite some time. Like pouring rain from like, you know, morning, noon, night. It's really hard to like, God, function. It's also hard to function when the power in your apartment gets turned off because you have not paid the electric company since July of last year.
The ghetto. The ghetto. The ghetto.
So I went to turn a lamp on and it didn't turn on. I was like, oh God, it's an IKEA lamp. The bulbs are like randomly specific now. The socket's smaller, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have a replacement bulb. What am I going to do? And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to, like, take a shower, not think about it. And then the bathroom lights didn't turn on. I was like, oh, shit. So I go to, like, the breaker in my room and in the kitchen, and I flip them. They're all on. I'm like, okay, so I normally when, like, the power goes out, one switch will, like, turn off. And it was not the case. It was nothing of the sort. And I was like, oh God, like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, it must be out on the entire block. And then I, like, look outside my peephole, and I see the lights in the hallway are on. And I'm like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, okay. I think I know what's going on. I haven't paid the bill in a while. My roommate is in charge of this stuff. And I'm like, it has been quite some time. And, I text him, I'm like, hey, the power's out. He's like, oh shit, let me check into that. In the meantime, I go outside to smoke a cigarette and I see one of those like sticky notices on the front door, like bright red, urgent, Con Ed, apartment 2L. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So our power has been turned off. Because we haven't paid the bill. And he's like, yeah, we owe, like, $1,400. I'm like, okay.
Grandma, $10,000?
Grandma,
$10,000?
Get her out of my
face.
Grandma,
$10,000? So I, you know, just got my Patreon earnings. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Venmo'd the money. Paid the bill. It got turned on like very quickly, which I'm like, how can they do that remotely? Like, what actual like technology is happening where like Con Ed can just be like clicking a button, like turn your power on and off? No one had to come to the apartment or anything, the building. It was just like, oh, it's on. So there's like, they're like receiving and transmitting data to like something in the apartment building. Am I even like making sense?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I don't know. Anyways, it's the first Monday of May, which is the Met Gala. So while everyone's getting ready for that very special event, I was in complete darkness. I couldn't take a shower because my bathroom would be pitch black. And I could have like maybe lit a couple candles, but I'm like, this is too sad. Like, this is very sad. I was already so sad. Like, oh my God, the rain. The rain was just, like, so much and so relentless. Like, if it rained for like 3 hours, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, you know, all of the trees and bushes and flowers are blooming. And I like the rain, but this was like, holy fucking shit. I'm surprised it didn't like flood. No, it didn't flood. Thank God I watched all my little TV shows before the power went out, because I would have been really, been in freak mode. I watched the new episode of The Rehearsal, which is actually like shockingly good. I'm along for the ride. I don't really know where he's going or what he's ever trying to do or trying to prove, because it's always like this premise of like a science or social experiment where there's like tests that like provide data for a thesis or like a hypothesis or whatever. And I'm so used to like The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, where it's just very like science driven and data based. You know, Nathan Fielder, it's a little more meandering and artistic, and I love it. This episode was like fantastic. And maybe it's too soon to like spoil what really goes on, but I'll just say there's like, you know, it still pertains to like airline safety in a way. That's the kind of common thread. He visits these people, this couple that like cloned their dead dog. They got three new dogs from their dead dog's DNA, and tries to like recreate, because like they were saying their dog doesn't have, their three dogs don't have the same personality as their original dog, which I guess could be concerning. However, like, Jesus Christ, like, you're playing with fucking God? Yeah, I don't even know what you want. That kind of curtails into Sully, the pilot who landed the plane in the Hudson River. And Nathan Fielder creating kind of the scenario of this pilot's life that he provided in his memoir. I got chills a few times. Like, it really was kind of astonishing. Playing the like audio recording from like the black box on the plane, how there's this like 23 second silence. And just how, like, you know, this was like kind of right after 9/11, right? Wait, actually, let me Google this. When did Sully land the plane? Let's see if we get results for that. Okay, it was in 2009, so fully 8 years after 9/11. But, you know, some of us never stop thinking about 9/11, so you have to, like, kind of accept the type of tea that people are clocking in with. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And there's also like kind of like genius prop work. I mean, the sets that they build for the show are incredible. Whether it's like the, you know, airplane hangar with like the flight simulation screen. At one point, Nathan Fielder is like a baby Sully, the guy who landed the plane. They build this like huge bedroom, like crib, and then he's like in the South on like, you know, a rural pastoral, you know, front porch kind of thing with like a sister that's like a huge doll. It's crazy. It's very imaginative, very inventive, and truly incomparable to anything I've ever seen. So props for him alone for doing that. And I'm not going to harp on like understanding where the show's going. I trust him. I'm along for the ride. I also like kind of don't trust him. He's like autistic and evil, but like I am too. So I'm like, because he said something last week that was like, anyone who performs, it was like confidence or like social comfortability, or it was alluding to like anyone who's like pleasant is like faking it. And I'm like, sometimes I feel that and sometimes I don't. When I'm being nice though, I do, if I'm really going to clock myself, like I feel like I'm being fake, but I feel like I have to do it. I think it's like what we all have to do to like just make this world run a little smoother. This is a very American, you know, I don't think like German people do that shit. But like, would you want to live in Germany? Like, no, I'm sorry. Maybe you want to like get an artist grant to do like a performance art piece and like save $100 on rent. leave all your friends and family behind to live in fucking Berlin. My God, do that. Okay, I'm not playing the whole song. But do that if that's what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, do it. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to fucking... Guys, Jesus, actually. There's like major updates to the Dial Dan web show universe. Okay, I need to lock in right now. So I've added a lot of new merch items to the web show through the fulfillment service that I use. So the tea is that, like, they charge me a certain price for the item. And then, like, I guess shipping, I didn't realize this, like, shipping's included. I think you guys pay shipping, but, like, it goes to them, not me. And I'm already making them, like the t-shirt that they print on, it's not like $5, it's like $16. I'm like, okay, I'm charging like $32 when the shipping's removed. I'm making like $10, whatever, not that you care. Just so you know, I'm like, I just kind of want people to have some stuff. And, you know, this is so tacky, actually. This is so tacky. I've added some new items. The items are, I've added a new black Dial Dan Zildjian t-shirt. It's black with the gold Zildjian logo. There's a new white t-shirt with my, like, square, like, the face, like, the album art. Me at 15 years old after giving myself a kind of Farrah Fawcett haircut that also comes in black. I've made a coffee mug with that same exact image. And the photography on that is so fucking funny. Because I haven't ordered all these products for myself because I literally can't afford it. But, like, one day I will own these for myself. But chances are you will own them before I do. But I trust their quality. I mean, I've used them for the original, like, black Zildjian hat. Like, was blown away by the quality. So I'm like, okay, period. I trust their whole thing. And they're very established. They seem to have, like, like, they seem legit as fuck. There's also the white hat with the Zildjian font with gold. That's kind of cute for spring, summer. And there's a big, large tote bag. It's not embroidered. It's, like, printed. That's, like, for, like, grocery shopping. And I thought, like, that can be kind of fun. I could have done a smaller one, but I'm, like, I kind of think, like, a big bag is, like, cuter. Because the logo is bigger. And then, like, you can use it for groceries. You can use it for, like, honestly, like I said in the description, kind of like a weekend bag in a pinch. Throw some, like, or, you know, like, maybe a second weekend bag for, like, your shoes or, like, random crap, like towels. I don't know. I just feel like, but that tote bag at cost was, like, $18. I'm like, okay, so, like, for example, someone in fucking Saudi Arabia, shout out that guy. I know your name. Not off the top of my head. It's like Slim, SL. There's SLIM. I know the letters. He bought stuff. The shipping was a lot of money. Like, I pay for it. I'm like, fuck, I didn't, like, think about that when I priced this stuff. It's as cheap as you can get. T-shirts, $32. The face. I mean, the face is, like, funny. I think it's, like, funny to wear, like, a t-shirt with the face. They're Gildan, 100% cotton. You already know the fucking vibe of Gildan. Gildan's not going to, well, there are options for, like, 50% polyester. I'm like, hell no. Hell to the motherfucking no.
Whoa, she's furious.
It was kind of exciting. I kind of had, like, a fun day digging around on the computer. And I was like, I'm making new products. And it's very easy. Even like Cafe Press or something. I wonder if Cafe Press is still around. Shout out in the comments if you know if Cafe Press is still around. That's the vibe. Anyway, so I don't have to, like, do anything. It's so great because, like, it's been a huge burden having a merch store in a way where, I mean, that's why I had to do, like, drops. And you know, the hoodies didn't really sell out and they were like, mad pricey. This is boring. No one cares. But I'm just letting you know there's some new options in the merch store. Shout out to, like, honestly, like, 7 or 8 people bought some shit already. Props to you, mama. I will lay down and die for you if I had to. So, anyways. Should we just get into some minutiae? I feel like we should just get into some minutiae. Okay. Let's get into it. Okay. Classic situation. Street cleaning. I had to in the car. And I thought, God, why don't I just go through the McDonald's drive-thru and get some breakfast? Which I literally do almost every time I have to in the car, which is something I'm trying to maybe think about working on, is like not doing that. Because it's like, it seems like McDonald's breakfast doesn't seem like it's terrible for you because it's not a huge amount of food, but, you know, I'm just sure it's not great for the cholesterol, whatever. I do have the app, and I do use the app. I do the drive-through app. Well, I mean, you use the app, and I select drive-through instead of, like, you can go inside, pick up, you can, like, park in a parking spot, have them deliver it to you. I used to do, like, the drive, not the, God, why can't I fucking focus tonight? I used to do the thing where you, like, park and, like, you know, curbside, and they bring it out to you, and I'm like, well, I feel bad. But I didn't used to even, like, feel anything. Now I'm like, wait, that's random. I'll do the drive-thru. But every time you order, like, a quarter pounder or, like, a steak, egg, and cheese, that meat that they have to cook, the meat takes apparently for fucking ever. So, again, by the way, I, like, ordered it, I think, in my apartment, get in my car, you know, drive, like, a few blocks away. It takes, like, probably 10 minutes to get there from door to door. And I used to, like, be annoyed when they would say on the loudspeaker, are you using your mobile app today? And I'd be like, no, can I get, like, a steak, egg, and cheese bagel? But I'm like, yes, I have order QZ46. And they're like, Dan? I'm like, that's me.
What happened to hello?
No, it's actually great. You know.
You got it, girl.
Okay, anyways. So, again, on this day, I'm, like, thinking I'm way ahead of schedule. And they're like, okay, you need to, like, pull ahead in front of the restaurant into, like, the weird area in front of the door. And I'm behind a U-Haul. And I'm just, like, chilling. Like, okay, I'll just wait. Like, this is not my first day on Earth. You know what I mean? It's, like, totally fine. And then I see a gay guy get out of the U-Haul, and it's Garrett McGee from the Manscapers company. You know, he had that show on Bravo, like him and his gay best friend and like a woman friend. They would landscape in upstate New York and in like Bed-Stuy. People were like, I have $40,000. I need you to like turn my townhouse backyard into an oasis, and they would, and it looked great. You know, I'm like, they would build, I mean, maybe they'd build a, I don't even know if they'd build a deck. They would just like put like grassy plants and like get furniture. I'm like, I feel like you could do that. Listen, support local businesses, but I'm like, they like, you gotta have like money to just burn, I guess, in a certain way. Cause like $40,000 for like, I mean, like, I just feel like you could do that yourself. You just dig some shit, buy some plants that are like pretty obviously for all season, like New York climate. You know, I don't know. They do a good job. Anyways, I don't want to like, guys, please contact Manscapers, because they hire hot gay guys. That's the thing, they hire hot gay guys to come and like install your shit. And Garrett kind of just hopped out of the U-Haul in front of me, and like he like looked at me, and I was like, we met before like a couple times just in like gay bar situations. We have mutual friends, but I don't know who they are. It was like, oh, God, this guy that I was on a date with was terrible. Oh, my God. Okay, whatever. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh. And he was, like, going inside the restaurant, the McDonald's restaurant, and I'm like, what's he doing? Going inside, I think he's parked waiting for food, but he ran inside. Anyways, he came back out, and I kind of, like, did this lunatic thing where I like lowered my sunglasses knowing he would like come back outside, and like I wanted to like see more of my face, so I like did that, and then he came out and he like looked at me again. I was just kind of like raised my eyebrows. It's like 9:30 in the morning. I'm like, well, I'm doing it. And he got back in his U-Haul with a bag of McDonald's. Or no, they came back out again. I don't know what was happening with him. I would like to know. He drove off. I pulled up. I got my food. That was that. But then it kind of reminded me of like a thing that people used to say like years and years ago. This is like, I'm going to say like 2000, like 6 to like 10, where it was like, we're going to call like a life hack, where people would be like, you know, if you want like fresh French fries at McDonald's, all you have to do is like ask for like no salt. And they have to like make all new fries for you. Everyone was like, oh my God, whoa, that's so great. I want fresh French fries. Fresh. By the way, they're always like, they're not like, I mean, maybe sometimes they're really bad. But I feel like that's a thing of the past. Like even my hometown, or like maybe in the Hudson Valley, I remember like a stale fry from like 20 to 25 years ago. There's nothing of the sort anymore. And I guess that's why no one does that. But like, do you know what I'm talking about? Please, God.
Guess who came back? The old Mimi.
Anyways, I had an idea the other day that I haven't had before ever, which is shocking because it pertains to my apartment that I've lived in for it's gonna be 8 years in August. Should I put like a tiny little cafe chair on my fire escape and just sit out there? I mean, my fire escape is like slightly, I mean, it's like a pretty classic fire escape, but it's like a little, it's not as big as like some people's. I have an old air conditioner that I didn't know how to dispose of, so it's just like sitting there. If I move that outside, there's also like a potted plant that like came with the fire escape 8 years ago. Don't know what to do with that. But I, you know, the other night, I'll just say there's a lot of activity. A lot of activity, a lot of men running around at night. There's, again, a new homeless shelter. Not trying to be a bitch, but, like, don't even try to crucify me. Like, you already fucking know what that can bring to a neighborhood. I don't mind homeless people having a place to lay their head at night. However, it's a little more complicated than that. I went for a walk the other night, and I ran into friend of the pod, Antonio, and he'd been locked out of his house, and he was just sitting on the bench, and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing here? He's like, dude, like, there was this guy in the park. Well, yeah, he was locked in his house, but he's like, you just missed it. Like, there was this guy fucking screaming and, like, threatening people, and, like, the cops came, and I was like, oh, shit, like, this was the last episode I recorded of the pod. I think, if you remember correctly, I think I actually caught it on audio, him walking down my street. I was like, is there someone like yelling right now? It was like psychotic. And it was him, I think. I have to assume. And if it wasn't, well, then there's multiple men screaming to the night at like fucking 8 p.m. on a weekday, which is like par for the fucking course now. I will maybe touch on the Lena Dunham article about like leaving New York in a minute. And I was like, oh God. Yeah, no, I heard the guy from like in the booth. So my window was cracked. Anyways, I was like, that's, yeah, unfortunate. And, you know, I like to sit on the bench. This is my first summer with the homeless shelter open. And I'm like, I just actually feel like I'm putting myself in danger. It's like, shit is like popping off now all the time. I'm going to knock on wood. But like, truly, and I don't care what you think. I don't, if you think, oh, you're like a pussy, you're like a hipster, and you're like, oh no, like what you don't do, you can't like handle like urban life. Fuck you. Like, fuck you. Doesn't have to be like this. Doesn't have to, like, I can't accept, like, I'm a single adult man of a large stature. Like, clearly you don't have like children or like even like a dog. I don't even know. Like, it's not something that I can accept, because people need help and they should really get help, period. Again, no one wants to like adopt my casino, mental hospital, reformation, addendum, affirmation, proclamation. Fill up the casinos with mentally ill people. Lock them in there. 30 days. Bear them in. Give them the Jax Taylor treatment. They gotta be taken off the streets. I'm sorry. It's really like screaming and threatening people. You can't. You can't just be like, you can't just like spend the night in jail and get out the next day. Like, I'm sorry that life has been unfortunate to some. And I'm not trying to be glib, but like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Just pretend it's not happening? Guys, so I have to get like a cafe chair, put on my fire escape, and I'll just sit out there and like look at a brick wall. I loved being in like the park with the big old trees. I just don't think it's in the cards anymore. Going back to Lena Dunham, she did write an essay for The New Yorker that I could only listen to the audio for. It was not her providing the audio, but I couldn't read the article, so I listened to it. It was 24 minutes long. I got the bits and pieces, but it's kind of like stuff I kind of already knew. That London is much more pleasant and like spread out and not as condensed. And I'm kind of feeling a similar way where like I really am crumbling. I feel like my like mentally ill Vietnam War veteran father, where crowds like stress me out. I can't fucking do it. Everything's so fucking annoying. Everything is so fucking annoying and so taxing. I like being able to walk out and just like do stuff, get my little things. But also like being inside. So it's like really hard. And you know, you might think like, oh, well then Los Angeles. I like to drive, like to hike, all this stuff. But I'm like, maybe that's even like the same, if not worse. No, not worse, but like, it seems actually very isolating and scary and weird. Being so far away from New York City and everything I know. And like the weather is different. I mean, it's so nice. The weather is so nice. I just don't know. But like, that's all I think about is like, where can I go that's not fucking here? Where can I, it's like, even rural Greenpoint's not safe anymore. Like, it's true. You don't believe it's fucking true. There's that guy who punched like 80 women in the head and he's just like roaming around. Like, it's not, you know, it's like Chris something. Google, go on Reddit. Like, it's just like psychotic. I don't know. I'm not moving to London. I don't even know how I could do that. Very expensive. And also, it just seems like gray and rainy. Like, I don't want that. But also, like, what are my other options? Like, Hudson Valley. That's it. And then like I get like a one bedroom for 1600 bare mins. It's like small, and then I'm just like trapped up there. But like, maybe that's like fine. Maybe that's fine. I don't know. Now that Gaskins is closed, I'm like, what would I, where would I go? Probably like the Maker Hotel. I don't know, guys. I'm thinking about stuff. Okay. She's like, where can I afford to go that isn't just like...
The ghetto! The ghetto. The ghetto.
It's literally nowhere. It's nowhere. Anyways. I'm not trying to be a huge bummer, okay? God. But, like, honestly, like, I have, like, some more bummer tea. I didn't realize, like, Marvin Gaye, who there's, like, a biopic coming out about him. Or, well, there will be eventually. And then Terrence Howard was in the talks for, but, like, Terrence Howard was like, I can't kiss a man because I'll have to, like, cut my lips off. I fucking hate Terrence Howard, like, so much. Like, fuck him. His vibe is like really atrocious. It's like worse than mine. Like, I don't fuck with Terrence Howard. Yes, Empire was a moment, but like it was a little too real. Like, that's, yeah, him throwing the little Justin Smollett baby in the dumpster, you know. I know he's acting, but I think he was very well prepared for it. I'll just say that. Anyways, Marvin Gaye, I didn't realize his father shot him to death. There was like an altercation, like his father was hitting his mother, and then like a gun was pulled, and then like Marvin Gaye's father shot Marvin Gaye to death at the age of 44 twice in the chest. I had no idea. And then also Marvin Gaye's father was a minister, and also, like, kind of a known cross-dresser. This is what the Wikipedia told me, that he was a cross-dresser. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, guys, as much as we think, like, homophobia has been eradicated, that was, like, kind of in the recent past, and it seemed to be, I don't know if it was accepted, but, like, it was, I don't know. If I hadn't heard of it, it's, I'm sure there was, like, a bit of a justification at the time. I can assume there was a justification at the time. It was like, oh, well, your son was acting gay and you killed him. Like, I'll just... I mean, he did go to jail for, like, 20 years. But, like, I don't know. He was cross-dressing, so he was, like, probably gay or trans. And so, like, there was a lot of complicated shit. And Marvin Gaye is, like, one of the best artists that's ever walked the face of this earth. It's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Anyways, speaking of gay black guys, the theme of the Met Gala this year was gay black guy, I think. Like, I don't really know. It's like dandyism, tailoring. No one really hit the mark. I mean, Coleman Domingo looked great, but he's like so handsome. Like, he's very handsome. He had like an understated, well, he had this like blue cape and like thing, but he did a reveal. It's like this kind of black and white kind of grid-like blazer. A little bit of flouncy top. These like gorgeous gray tweed tailored pants, black loafers. There's a flower pin that was a little big and annoying, but like, you know, I guess it's a big, it's a special occasion. You can go big. He was the only man that kind of looked dignified. A lot of men just kind of wore like these like silk kind of like chiffon like suits with tails. It was like the same thing over and over again. The women, it was like everyone looked like a fucking blackjack dealer. Like, it was terrifying. It was like the worst Met Gala I've like maybe ever seen in my life. Because like, I will say the theme is a little bit limiting for guests that weren't of color. Because it's like what's Carly Kloss gonna wear? She didn't show up. I mean, I wouldn't either if I were. But like, you know, it's like celebrating like black male dandyism. And I don't know, like, the way that like people responded to the comments on the red carpet, it was like homosexuality was not really mentioned, but it was more about like the exuberance of like black culture, which like is a thing. But to me, I'm like, it's faggotry. It's like Dapper Dan. It's like Andre Leon Talley. You know, it's, I'm sure the exhibition looks great. I would love to see it as a theme for the Met Gala, which is like typically most like kind of like stuffy event that you could probably ever fucking imagine. Is it, you know, I don't know. They came up with the theme like 2 years ago. And Anna Wintour was like, we came up with this theme in a different political climate. And now it's even more impressive. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Now it just seems even worse because, like, if there is pressure for it to seem good, it fell very far short because, like, everyone looked so fucking stupid. Everyone looked like a weird little magician or, like, wait, you know what? Oh, my God. You know what it looks like? It's, like, in the Lady Gaga video for Applause when she, like, is turning into a swan. It's like a tailored little suit with like glitter and like little big white cuffs. That's what everyone fucking did. Mostly. This is like the overarching theme that I kind of clocked. It just didn't really, no one really took tailoring to a different place. It seemed very expected, which mostly the Met Gala is. Not a lot of people are trying to, like, rock the boat or stand out in an artistic way, which is unfortunate. But, like, even, like, a Project Runway challenge, like, if it was, like, tailoring, which is ultimately what it is, it's, like, use tailoring. There could have been more innovation in, like, the construction of, like, a dress or a suit, but it was, like, very plain. Everything felt very plain. Slick in a way that didn't seem luxurious, just very plain. A lot of white actresses giving a nod to like baby hair, I noticed, kind of just like swoopy, kind of like little wispy like bangs glued to their fucking foreheads. I'm like, okay, you just did enough. And the host of like the E! Red Carpet show, they're like, they weren't calling it out. They're like, we like that they did this now. Like, they like it now. I'm like, okay. If this was in, like, 2015, whenever a girl started airing of that shit, if Sydney Sweeney had a little tiny little swoop on her forehead, you know she would have nailed the fucking cross. I don't really care either way. It's not offensive, it's not interesting, it's just something that they're doing. You know, life doesn't have to revolve around these extravagant, elegant parties. However, that is like where the images of our culture come from, so it's like maybe something to be considered. Although I even fucking hate that I'm doing that. I don't care. Oh god, I don't care. I care though, actually, because I'm like talking about it and I'm like was dying to watch it. I was really dying to watch it. I think Madonna actually looked fucking perfect. Like, it was like a white cream silk suit, tailored the right amount. Not, she had a cigar, of course, just to, you know, do all that. There were a lot of cigars as props. Like, Doji had a cigar as a prop. A lot of canes. Everyone was, like, giving, like, high school, like, Atlanta prom. And, like, it just really didn't, like, a lot of things didn't like land for me. Considering like the fashions in the exhibition, I was disappointed because I'm like, again, I'm sure the exhibition was great. I saw some shots, some stills from the exhibition, and it's like, you know, the tailoring, it was impressive. Like, it was very impressive. The way you could wear a pinstripe suit and like a little hat. I mean, honestly, it's like kind of like limiting. It's limiting. It's like there. It's just, this theme is, it was maybe, it is important. And I like it enough, but like, I don't know. Like, it didn't really pan out well. I'll just say it didn't pan out well. It just didn't really pan out well. The theme being, like, gay black guy. And then even, like, Colin Domingo, like, didn't even, like, mention anything about, like, homosexuality. He's like, the men I grew up with, like, in the church, they wore rings. I want to honor them. I'm like, okay, bitch, like, sure. He has every right to say whatever he wants to say. He's the one in the spotlight, not me. He's put himself out there, and I, like, love him. He's, like, so hot. That voice. Colin Domingo's voice. I'm going to talk about the show 4 seasons with him and Tina Fey and others shortly, but let me just kind of wrap up the whole Met Gala. I don't even know who would be the best dressed. Like, everyone looks just, like, fucking annoying and stupid. Maybe it is Madonna. Oh, no, Diana Ross. Diana Ross showed up in this, like, I was watching the E! Live feed, and Christian Siriano was like, oh my, he's the best. Well, he's one of them. He's okay. He was like, you know that fucking Diana Ross just woke up today in Greenwich, Connecticut, and was like, oh, I have this dress in my house. I'm just going to show up, and I'm not even going to tell anyone. That is the vibe, because she had this dress, you know, she's 81 years old. She'd worn this dress before. The train was huge. The train was, like, the length, very similar proportionally, and, like, a fur kind of lining is the Met Gala look that Rihanna wore, that, like, yellow. She was working with, like, an Asian designer, I believe. You know, years ago. Diana Ross was my highlight. She's looked, I mean, she's the boss. She's, like, she's mother. She's the mother of all mothers. Everything, every road leads back to Diana Ross. And that's it. That's it. That's it for the Met Gala. Diana Ross, thank you for showing up tonight. Otherwise, I'd be like, whoa. It's not even like an A-list event anymore. It really isn't. It's like, I was watching it. I went to the bar and watched like an hour of it. My friend who's bartending was like, put her phone on next to a candle. We watched it off the phone. I'm like, who are these people? Like, literally, who are most of these people? Leading up to the Met Gala, there was like a Vogue, like, TikTok or like Instagram reel of like Rachel Toshajon being like, you can expect a lot more people of color this year at the Met Gala. I'm like, are you the person to say that? It's like, the whitest person I've, like, maybe ever met or could imagine in the world. It's a little odd. Listen, she's been very nice to me, but, like, I'm just saying, from an optics standpoint, peculiar, that's all I'll say. Little peculiar. Okay, I'm sorry, speaking of black guys, oh god, just bear with me. The guy from The Good Place, William Jackson Harper, I've seen a handful of times at the Quiet Cocktail Bar next to my house, and seems very nice, and I'm not gonna, like, bother him. He comes with, like, a friend, and, like, there's no one around, and it's, like, him and his friend, and it's, like, the two of them, and then they're, like, sitting next to me, and I'm, like, oh, I'm gonna say something one of these days. The day has not come yet, but I will say something to William Jackson Harper. Seems like a very cool guy. Not cool in, like, cool way. Cool in, like, a regular, just, like, wants to have a drink and talk to his friend at a bar way, which I very much respect. That's the essence of life. Not necessarily going to a bar, but just, like, catching up with a friend and talking one-on-one and connecting in a real way. Talking to a friend should make you feel like this.
Activate happy dance.
I know, that one kind of came out of nowhere. Okay. I gotta think for a second how I'm gonna, like, continue this episode, because I have, like, actually some great questions. And, more TV movie stuff, but, like, you know what? I'm in the mood, and, like, I wanna talk about Gaga and, Blue Ivy randomly. Oh, shit. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Okay, I'm gonna, like, actually take a cigarette break, and then I will decide if I answer the questions or do more topics. Okay, be right back. Not to, like, you know, create a hostage situation. I'm just, God, I don't know. Be right back. Okay, we're back. I've made the executive decision to do questions tonight. It seems more fun for me. And tomorrow I will do a live event for the $10 tier to get into other topics. You know, Lady Gaga concert in Copacabana. What else do we have? Movie Rust. Blue Ivy. Another Simple Favor. The TV series Four Seasons. Vanderpump Villa, and some, like, random Real Houses of New Jersey things I want to discuss. I've been watching old seasons. That'll be tomorrow. I'll announce it on Instagram, but you can probably imagine it's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow's really the only day I can do it because, like, I got to work on Thursday, and then on Friday I'm going to Rochester to see my friend Sean, and then I'm going to my hometown to see my mother for Mother's Day. Then I'm going to Connecticut to see my friend Sam. And I'm doing a whole tour. You know, spring has sprung. I haven't been really out of the city in a major way in a while. So I'm just, like, dipping it and fucking doing it. Okay. Let's get to the questions. Number one. Who was the best dressed at Dasha's wedding? Honest to God, it's Dasha herself. Loved her wedding dress. It was at, like, a cathedral on 15th Street. A nod to a peasant dress, but it looked new. It looked made for her. Very understated, but just, like, it was perfect. I thought it was perfect. I guess it was made by a designer called Ciel Chapman. C-E-I-L... Chapman.
B-I-C-T-H.
I guess she found it on Etsy. I'm assuming she got it tailored, but it literally looked brand new. I mean, it was, like, pure white. It wasn't, like, dingy. It was, like, it looked new. I was like, where did she get that dress? Some losers on Twitter were like, oh, she got it brand, her top was from Brandy Melville. I'm like, there wasn't a top, it was a fucking dress, you annoying bitch. Her after party look was made by Elena Velez. It was very festive and cute too, and I loved it. It's like, it was just perfect. Nothing was out of character, and I don't use this word because it's been too popularized, but it was demure. They're both demure in their own way, but it was festive enough, and I thought she looked like a perfect little princess and beautiful. I do want to give, like, a worst dressed, and I hope this young woman isn't listening, but an art handler kind of brought a date, and she was wearing a, like, leopard print dress with, like, cork wedges, and I was like, no, I was like,
what happened to hello? How are you?
I was kind of like,
I don't understand. I don't.
It was kind of, you know, when the ceremony's at a Catholic church, it did bring me back to my altar boy days. It was very sacramental. I was doing the sign of the cross over and over again. Felt kind of good. Didn't make me want to go back to church anyway, but, like, I was very happy to be there. It was a beautiful ceremony. And the after party or the reception at the Players Club on Gramercy Park was great because, like, the wedding, I think it was like 130 people total, which, like, isn't a lot for like a New York wedding. Everyone kind of knew each other somewhat, and it was just fun to, like, mince around this, like, old historic ass, like, I mean, just Google Gramercy Players Club. There's shit in different areas. It was fun. It was not like a formal dinner, hors d'oeuvres, open bar, a pasta station. you could just, like, dip it and do it. Anyways, next question. This is from a married man that I have a crush on. Okay, he said, did you feel as good as you looked in your suit? I will say yes. I was kind of feeling myself. I wore Brooks Brothers suit head to toe. Black suit, the same I have for wedding, funeral. As you probably gathered last episode, I went to the Brooks Brothers outlet store and I bought a white shirt and I bought a black tie from Saks Off Fifth. When I went to Mark and Clark's wedding, I wore like the pants from the Brooks Brothers suit, but I wore like a Zara thick wool blazer and like then a sweater and like a corridor shirt underneath. And I was kind of in between. It was still semi-formal, but I should have done formal to kind of, I didn't have the goods. And doing full formal actually made me feel my oats a little bit. I feel like it was like more flattering. It just made sense. You know, so many times in my life I've been photographed from an iPhone in the distance and I look like Sasquatch or like a fucking behemoth, and I really didn't get that this evening. I think it just is flattering for me. The tie, the shirt, it was like, okay, you know, going into it, I was like, maybe I'll look like a sweaty limo driver, which I kind of always end up looking like. But the tie makes a lot of difference. For example, I wore the same suit with like a white linen shirt to my cousin. His children were getting baptized and I was like the godfather. And I wore like a white linen shirt, no tie. And it felt like my vibe was like casual, uptight. And I don't know. Anyways, pairing it with a fucking real dress shirt and a tie made a world of difference. And I was just like, oh, this entire look is complete. You can't argue with a complete look. Although I did look at my white shirt the next day and it was like completely, like the ring around the neck was like completely like brown and stained. I'm like, I'm actually just that oily and greasy. So like, shit. But yeah, anyways, on my way home from the wedding, I stopped at the bar next to my apartment and I saw some friends of mine and they like basically like started clapping. They're like, oh my God, you look so nice. I was like, thank you. Oh my God. I needed that. You know, I was, you know, not wearing a hat for the first time in a long time. I saw Ivy Wilk, friend of the pod, and I don't think she recognized me because I like wasn't wearing a hat. I was like, Ivy, hey. She's young, but like, you know, it's like, it's shocking to see. It's like when your dad like shaves his mustache or something and you like cry. Oh my God, we have so many more questions. Okay, I gotta move on. Congratulations, Dasha and Riley. Wish you all the best. Beautiful couple. Beautiful. Okay. How do you handle unbalanced friendships? When you like the person fine enough, but they're way too nice. Okay, so this hasn't probably happened to me in a long time, slash, like, not maybe ever, but, like, I just think that, like, you gotta ice them out. It sounds cold and callous, but, like, if they're giving you a lot and you're not willing to give as much back, just don't respond to everything. Because they'll find other people. But you can't be the one they're latching on to. I've had this with, like, people who aren't even really that nice. They're just, like, kind of dysfunctional and, like, need people as a source of their, like, vitality and livelihood. And, like, in hindsight, I wish I just kind of set some boundaries. And, like, you don't even have to, like, tell them, like, your boundaries. Just, like, stop responding to them. I'm telling you. I know it sounds maybe unintuitive or, like, rude. But trust me, if someone's, like, that nice to you and, like, you're clearly not reciprocating it, like, they're doing this to other people as well. And they'll find it somewhere else. They're always going to. So just, like, even if they're like, hey, do you want to hang out? Like, just be like, just don't respond. Like, just don't honestly respond. Question number four. Which RuPaul Drag Race queens would be great Dial Dan guests? Maddie Morphosis. The straight one. I think we would really kiki. Also, I would love Lexi Love. I bet I could get her to tell me some, like, really wild, like, meth-fueled stories. I would love Hormona Lisa, because she is that bitch. Oh, I love her to death. I mean, there's a lot. What else? I mean, who else? Fifi O'Hara. You know, I just think, like, all the really popular ones we love and adore, like, they are useless, like, podcasting circuits, and I don't think I get, like, the real tea. I could probably get it out of them, but I don't know. Actually, maybe Mistress Isabel Brooks. I really love her, actually. I'm so excited she's on the new season of All-Stars because I've been watching her on Luscious Massacre's YouTube. If you don't know who Luscious Massacre is, bitch, get acquainted right now. The CD Dolls. Honey, you need to get acquainted with the CD Doll who just lives in, like, a border town in Texas, goes to, like, Dee Dee's Discounts, films herself, is just so naturally funny, and she's filmed with Mistress Isabel in, like, Texas at, like, Houston gay bars, and it's, like, genuinely so hysterical, and seems, like, kind of gonzo. I don't even know what that really means. It's like gonzo journalism.
If you don't have star quality, baby, get the f*** out of here.
Exactly. Okay, next question. What is your relationship with ChatGPT? I actually went to ChatGPT before I, like, published my latest merch drop. I was like, can you take this image of a gong and put it behind this, like, JPEG of words? But actually, no. Because, like, ChatGPT, you have to, like, log in, like, create an account. I was like, oh, wait, I can't do this. Like, I thought it was just, like, a website you can go to. Like, anyone. I didn't need to, like, sign up and, like, be all about the ChatGPT life. So then I went to Grok on Twitter and, like, it totally didn't do what I wanted to do. So the merch doesn't have the gong behind it, but I think it's fine. I think, you know, I'm someone who likes to simplify things to their essence, so I think it's totally cool. Actually, I mean, I love it. It's, like, really great. But ChatGPT, I don't even really know what's going on up in there. I really don't know because I can't log in. I'm not, I don't know. Something that, like, if it was, like, a one click, like, sign in with Google or sign in with, like, some. I don't think it offered me that, so I didn't do it. So that's my relationship. It's fraught. And distant. I have no relationship. Question number 6. What makes good car TV? Why do you rave about the Grand Tour, for example, but don't seem to be interested in, like, Formula One? Well, honey, those are like apples and oranges. The Grand Tour and Top Gear are, it's like talk show. It's like a travel show. It's also like giving you the honest tea about like the current state of the automotive world. Even though the show's not on the air anymore, but it used to be like, you get the real tea. Elon Musk sued Jeremy Clarkson because he got a negative review of a Tesla, like, honestly, like 15 years ago. It was so long ago. That little retard has been a fucking cunt forever, quite frankly. Formula One, I mean, like, I'm not like anti Formula One. I just like racing to me. I don't watch it. I don't watch like stuff on TV like that. It might be fun for me to have on the background. It might be fun, but it's not something I've ever been drawn to because like racing is different than like, I like reviews. I like the charisma of these, you know, the hosts of the Grand Tour, James May, Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond. You know, they've been friends for fucking decades. Like, they have this, they're funny. They're British, so I, like, learn about, I don't know, just, like, the nuances of, like, how they joke around and stuff like that. I like that stuff. And, you know, it's, like, a high production value. It's nothing like watching, like, Formula One racing, which is just, like, you know, and, like, you know, you want to root for your, like, your home team. I don't have a home team necessarily. I like Ferrari. I mean, maybe I would just say I root for Ferrari. I don't know what to root for. I'm not anti Formula One. It could be something I accept in my life, but you know, it's not the top of my list. But one day, I like to get invited to an event and be there. It's like NASCAR for rich people. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to go to NASCAR. It seems loud. Before I worked in the packaging factory, I worked at a NASCAR event, like at the door. It was outside, but it was like, I don't even know how I got it. I think my friend's dad was a cop, and it was like, he was security. He's like, we just need someone to like stand outside and let people like VIP tickets into this certain area. And I was like 16 years old, and I was like letting everyone in because I'm like, they would like be so drunk and like mean to me. I'm like, go in. I'm like, fucking child. I think I got fired. That's the thing. It's neither here nor there. But if you want to know why I don't, the question's a little, I'm not sure it makes sense, but I really thank you for asking because it is in an arena of topics I like to discuss. So, okay, next up, what are your thoughts on drones? Like when people buzz them around randomly, I think it's annoying in urban settings. Because I get scared. I'm like, uh-oh, they're looking at me. They're doing something. I don't know who's collecting this information, this data. Who's receiving the data? I don't know. If I'm in a rural or, like, suburban setting, I think it's, like, probably recreational. Maybe it's, like, a teenager or just, like, someone who's a hobbyist wants to, like, highlight their surroundings in a positive way. For example, I like joined a Facebook group that was like, Elmira, New York is crazy as fuck. And someone made like a sweeping, like, you know, YouTube video of like drone footage. And it looked like Fallujah or Detroit. And I'm like, yeah, this is so fucking depressing. I can't believe it. But they weren't trying to target individuals on the street. You know what I mean? But like, if I was in McCarran Park and someone's flying a drone, I'd be like, who the fuck is doing this? Like, I just, my trust is out the door. The guard goes up, and then I get agitated and angry and scared. Quite frankly, I get scared. So that's the tea on drones. Okay. One more question. Oh, wait, we're over an hour or two. Oh, thank God. Okay. Guys, make sure you tune in tomorrow, 9 p.m. I'll make a post. Oh, God. One more question. Okay, so this is a long one, and it's self-described as heavy. So buckle up. Here we go. Question number 8. My last relationship ended for differing visions of our future. Principally, his desire to start a family via surrogacy, which I am innately disgusted by, parentheses, prefer adoption. I've now been single for a couple of years in a horrible dating pool and on the wrong end of my 20s. I met someone recently and I'm falling head over heels, but he's mentioned that fathering a biological child via surrogacy is incredibly important to him. Do I compromise my morals and continue this relationship with an otherwise perfect man, or risk that I end up dying alone? Parentheses, kind of serious for the pod, but genuinely interested in your take. Okay. Yes, it is a little serious for the pod, but I appreciate the question, and I'm happy enough to answer it. There's a lot of things going on. And just to preface this, please just do not take whatever I'm going to say as the word of God, okay? I'm just a middle-aged gay guy using my limited intellect to kind of get to the bottom of things. A few issues here. One, you've been in this situation before, and you're in it again. And you made a decision previously, and now you're like, well, what should I do now? Could have been beaten down by life, and that's fine, because like things do be changing. Other thing is that you're like still in your 20s, and I'm like, okay, like, gay guys don't have kids until they're like 60. And the third thing is like, is surrogacy ethical for gay men? Which I know a lot of you are like, of course it is. I'm like, kind of a coin flip. I don't know. It's a little icky to me. A little icky, unintuitive. Adopt. Fucking adopt. And I'm glad you're kind of on that too, dude. It's like, how? Okay. Let's just start from the beginning. You're with a guy. You're on the wrong end of your 20s. Okay, so you're still like, you're like a twink. I mean, I'm guessing you're a twink. Twinks do be listening to the pod. Yes, there is a horrible dating pool. You seem family oriented. God. Okay. You're with a perfect man. So is compromising with surrogacy a thing you're willing to do? I don't know if I can answer that for you. I don't. I'm not going to draw like a hard line and be like, maybe you don't think surrogacy is ethical. You don't want to do it. But if the love of your life is a perfect man wants to, maybe you could. You could crack the door open. Although like, I cannot imagine myself in this situation. I'm trying to, and like, I can't imagine finding a woman to pay to like have a, it just doesn't really sit right. Maybe there's a compromise. Maybe there's like a woman in your life that you both like, maybe a lesbian who would carry the baby for you, so it doesn't seem like you're outsourcing it to like Amazon.com. But then like, I also don't think like I just can't imagine. Here's where things get a little hairy. I might lose a few listeners. I don't really care. It's hard to imagine a woman that would just like carry a baby for someone else and have no attachment to it. And like, they're not going to be in your life and they're not supposed to be, you pay them to not, but I'm like, that's, it's gross to me. I just don't like it. I don't like that. And like, also, I'm sorry, like, two men, like, can't procreate. So, like, it's, I don't think we should not have the right to have children or adopt, but I, like, don't think that, like, you know, if, just fucking adopt a kid. Because you want a dud, you want to see yourself. Like, we can't make kids. Except, like, a little bit of a biological reality here. Like, it's not, maybe it's unfortunate, sure, but, like, we can't pretend. We just can't pretend, like, we're a man and woman. And I don't know. I just, I, yeah, I don't know. It's not, it, I get where you're coming from. I totally get where you're coming from. God, this question is really rocking. My role, I'm sure yours too. I mean, you're still in your 20s, so you could dump this guy and like, unless he's like paying for all this stuff. If he's rich, like maybe just get a surrogate. Maybe just get a surrogate if he's rich. I don't know. But if he's not rich and like, I mean, that costs so much money too. I'm like, how are you paying for this shit? What do you do? You're not going to die alone. You're in your 20s. You'll find someone else. But if you want kids, it's like, Jesus Christ. It's also kind of crazy to me that like, gay guys don't want to adopt. Like, to me, that would be like more intuitive than like having your DNA like passed on to like, I don't even get it. Like, so then one of you gets their DNA passed. It's not like the two of you combining your DNA creates a child. It's like, it's your DNA and like the surrogate. So I'm like, or maybe you can like have like an embryo with some, oh my God. It's just like a little much for me. Call me old fashioned. There's a lot of children that need homes in America and in the world. But I mean, like, international adoption is also like really wild too. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know. Cause like in this current day and age, like everyone who's been adopted from overseas, like I now hate my parents, like, because they took me away from like my culture. It's like, it's complicated, but not everyone's like that. But it's like, that's gonna be a part, it's gonna be a facet, maybe a small facet, maybe a big facet. International adoption, I mean, I don't really, I couldn't even fathom that either. I'm like, there's plenty of children in America that need homes. Get one of them. Just go up. Just get one. Is that not in the fucking arena of things to do? Like, wouldn't you want it? And they're like, oh no, maybe. Like, what's the, this is the thing. Gay guys need to curate every fucking thing and make it so perfect that like, oh no, what if I get like a dud? What if I adopt a kid and it's a dud? Well, guess what? Like, chances are, like, you're gonna like have a child and one in 30 is like going to be severely autistic. Like, everyone in America is going to be nonverbal autistic by 2050. So, like, buckle up and just, like, adopt a retarded kid. And just, like, build a bridge and get over it. Your kid's going to be retarded. You're two gay guys. Why wouldn't your kid be retarded? Okay? Quite frankly. Tell that to your boyfriend. Wait, if you're not married yet, you gotta get married. Holy shit. Well, maybe don't get married if you don't, if you're on the same page with the kids, but I think like raising an autistic child is something you should talk about, because like that's like you think you can avoid that? The fact of the matter, what I'm actually, I think I just really got to is that, like, gay guys having kids, you can't, like, reduce the risk of having a retarded child when you can't even make a fucking child. So, like, adopt. Just fucking adopt. Or, you know, do IVF, do surrogacy, pay $150,000, do that. But, listener, I understand your hesitation. But also, if you want to adopt a kid, you got to be absolutely comfortable with, like, raising a moderate to severely autistic child. And, you know, I love all of God's children. I'm not, you know, I'm not being a bitch. I'm just saying, this is, like, a pretty harsh reality. When you can't, when you can't conceive a child, you can't expect, like, the best perfect results, because, like, heterosexual people don't have that privilege either. Everyone is literally autistic now. It's because of red dye number 40, and vaccines. mostly red dye 40. But there's some shit to look into. I think it's the frequency of vaccines, even the toddlers. Listen, something's going on. I don't know. I, like, don't know, but, like, something has been going on. I'm like, Jenny McCarthy is getting, like, crucified. I'm like, wait a minute. She's the devil? I'm like, I don't know. Like, everyone's literally autistic now. 1 in 30 children are severe. It's clearly something is going on. I don't know what it is. I haven't done my research. But, like, adopt now or forever hold your peace. This question, I really went too far. I don't even think I really answered it either. That's the crazy part. I don't think I really answered it. Okay, I want to let me, like, guide us out with a song, actually. This is a Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell song called Your Precious Love. I think it's just so beautiful. And tomorrow night, I will be doing a live event, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'll do little topics and, you know, we'll have fun. I kind of like it. You guys sound off in the comments. It's cozy. I don't feel scared. Okay. I'm so random and annoying. Okay. Good night. Love y'all. This is called, again, Your Precious Love by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Nope. That's not. Oh, that was Shadow of a Man by Lady Gaga, but...
Show me what happens.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you work at a record label, push for more soul singers. That's all. Good night. Love you. Bye-bye.